Blessed Easter, welcome to our Easter celebration, and we indeed can declare Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Let's hold up our Bible and declare that this is my Bible. Are you ready? Just hold up your Bible. Ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Let's read aloud together what is projected on the screen for you from John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. So let's declare the word of God aloud together. Ready? One, two, go. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. And very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and tutor our hearts and our minds that we may be able, Lord, to know your will for our lives. So speak to us, we pray, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome again to our Easter celebration, and I pray that you will have a great time just listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I had a conversation with a young man recently about struggle he has, coping with his job, anxieties, and the pandemic. Now, not wanting in any way to belittle what he's going through, I simply asked this question. And the question is this: what difference does Jesus make in your life in what you are facing right now? And I could see that when I asked him that question, what difference does Jesus make in your life in what you are facing right now? He thought for a while, and then he said, "I haven't thought about that." Well, I remember when my kids were younger, they would test the limit of authority in the way my wife and I disciplined them. They somehow knew how to push the boundary, and all our three boys are different in terms of their compliance. "Son, don't do that." and parents understand this very well. Well, you see, some kids need only one warning and then they will stop. While others, we need to issue the three warning rule. The cane will come as a final warning and they usually will stop by then. In some sense, the testing of the boundary is about whether they think that whether dad or mom is serious. And by the third time with the cane, they know that dad and mom is serious. And in the same way, how serious are we about the resurrection? And how much difference does that make for us? You see, in the times of the gospel, there were people who had hoped that Christ is the Messiah. But what confirmed that he was seriously the Messiah was because of his resurrection. And the Apostle Paul affirmed that. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." And he repeated that in verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." So why is the resurrection so important? Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 26, "The last enemy to be destroyed is death." So two conclusions here. If Christ has not been raised, number one, Christians are of all people most to be pitied. We are fools, in other words. We believe in a myth or worse still, a lie. And the second consequence is this: we are wasting our time because our faith is of no use if Christ has not been raised. Our faith is useless. We're still lost in our sins. We might as well do something else. You see, to be a Christian is not about having a nice religion to be involved with. It's funny, I heard someone shared about a relative who wanted to be a Christian at the latter part of his life because he said Christian funeral services are easier to conduct, less sorrowful, because Christians sing joyful songs, and most of all, it is so much cheaper. This person misses the point altogether. Well, those of us who are serious about faith, we have discovered that there is a big cost in following Jesus. It is a cost of forsaking everything in our life. Take up the cross and follow Him. There's a huge price to pay. Now, why do we pay the price if it is not something worthwhile paying for? So maybe if you are here today and you are not a Christian, or you are not really sure whether you are, or you may have backslided away from God for many years, this is a serious message worth considering. What difference would the resurrection of Jesus make in your life? One of the disciples of Jesus, Simon Peter, discovered this truth for himself. From thinking that maybe Jesus is the Messiah, to knowing that He's really the Messiah, it is a transformation moving something from the head to the heart. What I'm trying to say here is that many seekers only know about Christ, but they don't know Christ personally to experience the power of His resurrection. Well, it's okay to start that way, but we must go beyond merely knowing about Him to knowing, experiencing, and relating to Him as the resurrected Lord and King. In Peter's first encounter with Jesus, because there was a large crowd coming to listen, Jesus got into the boat and taught the word from there. When he finished teaching, he instructed Simon Peter to let the nets down, but Peter protested. In Luke chapter 5, verses 5 to 6 says, Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Then Peter fell to his knees and recognized that there's something supernatural about Jesus. He felt so unworthy to be with Jesus because he said that he is a sinful man. But we know from there in verse 10, Jesus told Peter, "From now on, you will fish for people." We see this very important phrase in Luke chapter 5, verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Peter's partners, left everything and followed Jesus. These four, plus eight others later, left their occupation and their old life behind and followed Christ. And this is how many of us began that journey. We were all confronted with the claims of Christ. I remember this when I was about 15 years old, young. I was searching for God up to that point. Somehow I was a rather religious boy, and my father had groomed me up well to diligently follow through with the daily religious rituals of praying to the house idols as the eldest son in the family. And one day I remember asking my dad, "Why am I doing all this? Do you know what these idols are? Who are they?" You know, my dad could not reply me. And he did all this out of a religious duty, or rather fear, that there were many things not within his control, and there were higher powers at work. And that began my quest. And to cut the whole long story short, a friend introduced me to church when I was 15 years old, and I was spiritually hungry for answers. I received my first Bible, which is the Good News Bible of the New Testament. And I remember devouring every word from the Gospels to even the book of Revelation, fascinated by everything that I read. You know, I even subscribed to free Bible correspondent courses, which I received in the mail, not email, by the way, but snail mail, and devoured again all that I needed to learn. You see, I was then 15 years old. By the time I was 17, I was a follower of Jesus Christ. So here lies a familiar story of the life of Apostle Peter, which we all can identify with. First of all, there was Peter's declaration. Now, what do I mean by that? You see, They had just had their last supper when Jesus broke bread with the disciples. And Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant," which we did just now. And then in Matthew 26, verses 31 to 35, it says there, "Then Jesus told them, the disciples, 'This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee.'" And here's a declaration in verse 33, where Peter said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never, he says. Well, I was thinking to myself, which part of Jesus that Peter did not understand? Jesus actually said, "You will all fall away." In fact, Jesus told Peter exactly how he would fall away. Verse 34, "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." You see, what Jesus was saying is that between now, which is in the evening until sunrise tomorrow, before the rooster crows, Peter would have disowned Jesus three times. That's how long his commitment was going to last, less than 12 hours. And verse 35 says, "But Peter declared, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you.' And all the disciples said the same." See, I don't mean here to put Peter down or to make fun of him, but to help us relate to this poor man. We are actually very much like him, like Peter. To prove this, let me ask you one question. Now, how many of us had ever told the Lord when we struggle in some areas of our life that we will never do it again? Have you done that? Then what happened? We do it again. Now, raise your hands if you have done that. I'm sure all of us have done that. But we can identify with Peter, right? Hopefully, we don't become self-righteous and look down on Peter when we ourselves declared we will not fall away. How easily we declare to the whole world that we want to follow Jesus. Yet when the crunch comes, we are not as strong as we think, right? What a comfort Peter brought to us. So, Peter's declaration of his faith in Jesus led to his denial. That's the second thing, Peter's denial. So what is that? Now here he was in the courtyard of the place where Jesus was brought to after he was arrested. And that's from the Garden of Gethsemane. And so when first confronted by a servant girl, where the servant girl says, "You were also with Jesus of Galilee." Well, Peter denied it. "I don't know what you are talking about." When confronted by another servant girl the second time, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth," he denied it even more. "I don't know the man." This time, the Bible recorded that he denied it with an oath. Now, what's an oath? In our modern day term, it is to put one hand on the Bible and raise the other hand in the air and say, "I swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God." Or when we were kids, we probably say this, "Cross my heart and hope to die." The third time, and confronted by the people around him, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives it away." And this is what Peter said in verse 74. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know that man." Now the next line of scripture says in Matthew 26, verse 74, "And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." Now compare that to what he said earlier in verse 35. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And Jesus had prophesied, "No, Peter, you will deny me three times." And Peter probably protested, "What do you mean?" "Yes, you will. Three times before the rooster crows." Let's have a look at how Apostle Luke recorded it. Luke 22, verse 16. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. This was probably a small courtyard of about 100 feet by 100 feet. and they are within sight of each other. The moment Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about," the rooster crowed. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Now, how bad would you feel when you face the one whom you just said not too long ago, "I will never disown you"? Remember, we are not putting Peter down. I'm just saying that we can relate to him. You may say that you have never denied Jesus with your words. I'll tell you what about your actions? Think about that. Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says, "They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him." You see, we can deny him by not living a life with Christ-like behavior. We say we love God, but our actions show otherwise. One of the things that we have been looking from the book of learning from the book of Leviticus is about holy living, being different from the rest of the world. When people look at us, can they tell whether we are followers of Jesus Christ? My wife and I visited an Amish community in Pennsylvania, USA, a community that live with a simple lifestyle where they still ride on horse buggies with no electricity and modern amenities, with a conviction that worldly things should never distract them from a life of faith. And one Amish man was asked, "Are you a Christian?" Well, his simple answer was not a profound explanation on salvation, redemption, or justification. His answer was simply, "Ask my neighbor." And Jesus said that if we say we love him, then obey his commandments. Well, I would be the first to admit that I often mess up. We say we will never do this again, and we did it again. Not one time, not three times. It could be even more than that. We made the declaration, "I will follow Jesus. I will never leave him." But how often have we failed God by the way we live our lives? Can you identify with that? Are you like Peter today? Some of you may have come on to an Easter service feeling very much like Peter. You feel discouraged. You don't feel you're up to the mark. You tried very hard to follow Jesus, but failed again and again. Maybe you even wept bitterly like Peter. May I say to you today, you are in the same shoes as Peter, the man whom God used to change the history of the world. Peter became one of the greatest voices and pillars of the Christian church. So what changed? What made the difference for him? So listen to this carefully. I'm here to tell you that there is hope in this Easter. There's hope in Easter. And here's the miracle from Peter's declaration, denial. And now let's look at how that became a true devotion to Christ. So let's talk about Peter's devotion. Peter's devotion happened after the resurrection. He thought he knew Jesus is the Messiah when he gave up everything and followed him. He thought he knew. But now he knows. Why? Because Christ has risen from the dead. He was very discouraged and upset after denial. Now, fast forward to John chapter 21. All the disciples were discouraged. Some went back to their old job as fishermen. And John 21, verses 1 to 3 says this. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. And verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish. Well, they were about 100 yards offshore, about 90 meters. They didn't realize it was Jesus shouting out to them to throw their net to the right side. From nothing, with the call of Jesus, there was an overabundance of catch. It's a miracle. Then the disciples, verse 7 says, whom Jesus loved, who is John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. It's quite a comic sight of Peter. He loves to jump into the water. Verse 8 says, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Now, why did Jesus perform this same exact miracle which we read in Luke chapter 5 when Jesus first called Peter? The simple message to Peter and to all of us is this: it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. Let me repeat that. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. And some of you may remember the sermon I preached in 2017 about being real, and that's where it came from. Peter, it's okay. You can start all over again. I know you mess up. I know what you did. I saw and heard you say those words, "I don't know this man." I told you that this is going to happen. You would deny me 3 times. And when I turned my face towards you when the rooster crowed, I wanted you to know I will be taking the pain and suffering that you went through. I understand. Though I died for your failures, I rose again, so that you also need not stay in death, but rise again. To start all over every time you make a mistake. And then Jesus went to that famous passage, which we heard over and over, but we still don't get it. He asked that question, "Do you love me?" There are different ways of preaching this. You can come from a very negative angle and say, because Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus then asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" So let's look at that passage again. I personally don't think it was negative at all. Verse 17, "The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" And here's what Jesus is saying to Peter: "I know you love me, but I just want you to know that as well." Interesting, isn't it? Jesus is saying, "I know you love me, but I just want you to know that as well." This is a paradoxical statement, a double confirmation, we call it. Well, confirmation is good enough, right? You don't need to double or triple confirm. If you have booked a table for dinner and you have received a confirmation, then it is considered booked. It would be quite funny to have the restaurant calls you another 2 times to confirm your booking. So Jesus is saying to Peter, "I know you love me, but I just want you to know, because you are the ones having all the doubts. Peter, you may have messed up, but you need to know that my resurrection takes care of all your failures, your weaknesses, your disappointments, and heartaches." So in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was first called, Jesus did the miracle and said, "Follow me." That's in Luke 5. Then when Peter failed, he went back to fishing. And he's really saying, "I'm going back to my old life, to the way I've been before. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I thought I was, but I don't think so now." Now, how many of you feel this way right now? And then when Jesus came back and did the exact same miracle, he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Jesus was saying to Peter, "Yes, I know you love me, but Peter, do you know yourself? Do you know you can mess up and still love me? Do you know that?" Because Jesus said, "I know that." Then Jesus continued to tell him what is to come. And that's not some very nice things to say. In John chapter 21, verse 18, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." So Jesus is saying to Peter, "I need you to make a recommitment. Follow me. It doesn't matter how much you mess up. Peter, you're going to follow me all the way to the cross." Well, Peter had heard that many times before. You probably have read it many times before too in the gospel, where it says, for example, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Now, this invitation to follow me, what's the difference from Luke chapter 5 in the first calling to this calling in John 21? In the first calling, Peter understood it to be that cross meant death. And that's why he said he was willing to die. He understood that. No, he didn't know until this moment that the cross meant life after death. So Peter started following him in Luke chapter 5. And in John 21, he makes the commitment to follow him again. And this time, it makes a world of difference because Peter once again came away from being a fisherman, not only to be fishers of men, but one of the greatest leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me ask again, what made the difference? The resurrection of Christ. Just before Peter denied Jesus, here's an interesting observation. Matthew 26, verse 58. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. Are you following Jesus? You may say, yes, but how far are you? I remember when I became the senior pastor of DUMC, well, many of you were very kind to me, and you came up to me and say, Pastor, don't worry, we are following behind you. You know, I would jokingly ask this question, but how far are you from behind me? That is a relevant question. So are you following at a distance? How closely are you following Christ? Are you following him all the way to the cross? Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to follow me, Jesus asked you? Let me tell you what will happen to you. Peter had learned that what Jesus said will come true. If Jesus had said to Peter that he would deny him three times, it happened. And now, if Jesus were to say to him, to Peter, you will be crucified to the cross yourself, Peter actually believed him. And when Jesus called to him, follow me, Peter followed. Now, church tradition had it that Peter was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man whose life is totally changed. From denying Jesus in John 21 to preaching Jesus to the whole world in the book of Acts, Peter was a totally changed man. So in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, Peter stood up and preached. 3,000 people came to Christ. Not a bad outcome for a first sermon. Any preacher will love that. In Acts chapter 3, a lame man walked when Peter, in the name of Jesus, helped him stand up and the lame man walked. In Acts chapter 4, he and John were beaten up and told not to preach. And this is what he said, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. And in Acts chapter 5, there were such signs, miracles, and wonders that people thought the shadow of Peter was sufficient to heal them. What made the difference? The resurrection. In Luke chapter 5, Peter thought Jesus was God. In John 21, Peter knew he was God. And Peter followed Jesus not just to the cross, but to eternal life thereafter. We all have been through it. We all started to follow Jesus, often at a distance. We may be unsure. We may have made mistakes. But tell you what, since I followed Jesus, I have made many mistakes. Some I'm not proud to talk about. And many times in my Christian walk, I denied him with my words and my deeds. You know, I have to go back to Jesus over and over again. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. All the nonsense, God, I'm not giving any excuse. But you know I really do love you. And the Lord will always say to me, well, then let's start again. Follow me. This is to be human and holy at the same time. Human and holy. That's why I'm asking all of us here today, will you recommit your life to the risen Christ? So, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today, right now? What is he saying to you? Would you just bow your heads and just for a moment pause and ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about my devotion to Christ? Allow him to speak to you. And if you're not a Christian here today, and you're not here by chance, really, and I believe that Jesus has a message for you, and that message is simply, follow me. You know, because Jesus is not just somebody, a historical figure of the past, but he's actually God. Why? Because of his resurrection. Right now, today, you cannot find the tomb of Jesus. If ever someone found the tomb of Jesus, the whole Christian faith will have collapsed. And so Jesus is risen. So I believe that this is a challenge to you to receive Jesus into your life. And how do you do that? You do that simply by praying a simple prayer to God. You say sorry, you say thank you, and you say please. And I've done that almost every weekend when I preach. And here you say to the Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. This is a confession of your life. And you repent and say, I will try. You know, we are not perfect, but I will try. Jesus, please help me. So you say sorry. You say thank you. Thank you that Jesus, you died on the cross for me. And that you paid the penalty of my sins. And when you have done that, you say, please, please come into my life. You receive the forgiveness of Christ in your life. You invite his presence into you so that you can begin. Like I say, it's a beginning of the journey with Christ. If that expresses the desire of your heart, I want you to bow your heads, you know, and just pray this prayer with me, because I want to give you an opportunity before the end of this service to allow you to make that transaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that's the desires of your heart, will you pray this simple prayer together with me? Just bow your heads and then you say, Dear Lord Jesus, together, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins, for the things that I've done wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, that you paid the penalty of my sins. And through that, you have forgiven me. Today, I receive your forgiveness, and please send the Holy Spirit of God into my life and make me a new person. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have said that prayer, you know, God actually heard your prayer. He hears you. He hears the prayer of your heart. It's not the words you say, but the desires of your heart. And if you have said that, then you enter into a new relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have done that. Can I just ask a favor from you? That on the chat screen, there is a button called Raise Hands. Could you just quickly click that and say, indicate that you have, you know, make a decision to follow Christ. You have said that prayer and it's the beginning of this journey. And if you've done that as well, can you just take a photo of the QR code and where we will, ask you to enter a few details for us so that we can follow up with you, give you some literature maybe to help you in your journey with God. And so, you know, I want to invite you to come and join us at this church called DUMC, where we can help you grow together. And so for the rest of us, you know, we may feel very much like Peter. And I pray that during this Easter, we will be able to just recommit our lives to God once again. And so if that's you, will you just raise your hands to the Lord? I want to pray a prayer of recommitment to God. And no matter what you have done in the past before, no matter how much you have backslided away from God, God says, follow me. That's a recommitment call that God is giving to us right now. So will you raise your hands to the Lord? And if that's a desire of your heart, just agree with me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, there are many times I feel like Apostle Peter. There are many times, God, I've denied you, I've failed you. But yet the way Jesus, the way you responded to Apostle Peter is amazing. You simply asked me, do you love me? And Lord, you know my heart, God, that I do desire to love you, but there are times I messed up. But I'm so thankful that I heard what you said to Apostle Peter to follow me, even after he has failed you so terribly. So today, God, I want to return or to make a recommitment to you to follow after you for the rest of my life. I may still fail, God, along the way, but I know I can always come back to you and you will still ask me, do you love me? And I know, you know my heart, that I love you. And so today, Lord, Holy Spirit, will you come and fill me anew so that I can walk this journey here on with a fresh, new spirit and a new zeal in my life. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, Amen, Amen, Amen. So God bless you and have a great Easter, and we'll see you back here the coming weekend.